probably didn't know this, but one morning I put my Bible underneath here and I knocked a cup of water over. I don't know if anyone ever saw it or not, or saw the results of it. Well, it's a privilege to be together as a body, to share together around God's Word. The title of the message is, What Are You Waiting For? And it's a message on procrastination. And it's a message I've been wanting to preach for a while. But I didn't preach it. Takes a little bit. Actually, I had it on my shelf for a while. And you know, I knew that someday I would preach it, but I picked it up a couple times and it didn't go anywhere. So I backed off and it just this time it hit me in ways that it never hit me before. And up front, I want to just a little disclaimer that I think there's a difference between God's timing and God's call and procrastinating in that. Just a little illustration on my sermon. I was okay with, okay, God, someday I'll preach it. But I felt that today was the day. And if I would have said, God, I don't want to do it, then that's procrastination, I think. I think there's a difference between God's timing and being willing to do whatever he calls and God's call and says, I want you to go now. Now's the time to go. Just a little disclaimer up front as we look into this procrastination. I think it's one of our biggest enemies we face as believers. The thing of procrastination and putting off. And I believe it affects us all in many ways. I think if I'd ask the question, if there's ever a time you didn't procrastinate, it'd be like, is there ever a time you didn't eat three meals a day? Or, you know, I think it has affected us in one way or another in our lives. We procrastinate over all sorts of things, little things like putting off dusting or putting off doing something around the house so that we can go play golf or mowing the yard so we can go play golf, but sometimes that comes around to hurt us. We go do something and put off mowing the yard and it rains the next day and your wife says, I told you you should have did that day. But sometimes the consequences are much higher and the stakes are a lot higher in our lives, and sometimes it's because of laziness, and sometimes it's because the thing we're supposed to do is less desirable than what we want to do, and sometimes the things that we know we should do are just too painful, and we push it off to later in the future, hoping it goes away, but it remains undone. Think of the children of Israel, how they procrastinated going into the promised land. They said, the giants are too big, the cities are too big. And they said, I don't want to do it. They put it off. And look at the blessings that they didn't receive because of their lack of trust, lack of faith in God. I think a big piece in our putting off God's call in our life, I want you to think about this as we go through the message this morning, is, do I trust God? Do I have faith in God that he's able? As I looked at the children of Israel, I saw the theme of the lack of trust, the lack of faith in God that he was able to lead them through. What is it that you are delaying doing or that God is asking you to do? What are you delaying in responding to God? Have you promised God, I'll do something, but you just keep putting it off and putting it off and says, I just don't want to do it right now? Procrastination robs us of great joys and it prevents us from experiencing God's blessing and God's work in our lives that he wants to do through us and putting it off. What is procrastination? It's putting off something you know you should be doing. How many of you have sticky notes with a list of things that you were supposed to do or your wife wants you to do or your boss wants you to do? You have sticky notes, you have them hanging around your office, your computer, or wherever you can see them. And You're supposed to do them in a certain order, but maybe there's one you always procrastinate on your list that you're supposed to do, like fixing the sink or fixing the toilet, or somehow it keeps showing up on that to-do list. You keep putting it off and procrastinate doing it. We've procrastinated anything from saving money to dieting. I found a humorous little poem by a girl who wanted to start a new exercise regimen. She said, "I spent a fortune on a trampoline, a stationary bike, and a rowing machine, complete with gadgets to read my pulse, gadgets to prove my progress, and another one to show the miles I've charted. But they left off the gadget to get me started." How many of you find it so easy to put off things you know you should be doing? We procrastinate from our littlest memory, and the whole way through as we get older, we procrastinate. Anything from cleaning up the toys to cleaning up the room, to coming when we're called, to taking time to pray. So as we get older, if we're not trained differently, from doing our homework at the last minute, from saving money to cleaning our rooms, to coming when we're called, to taking time to pray. And notice as we get older, the list continues to grow. The things that we procrastinate when we're young, we continue to procrastinate when we get older. So as we get older, the stakes are higher. Not only does it affect our success in life, but it has a huge impact on us spiritually as well. And in our jobs, we procrastinate in meeting deadlines. We procrastinate in doing the best we can do. We procrastinate in appreciating special people in our lives. We procrastinate forgiving those who have hurt us. From taking time with our children, from loving our spouses, to paying our bills on time, to saving money, to cleaning up after ourselves, procrastinate listening to the voice of God, to responding to the voice of God. And you see, if we never conquer this enemy, it continues to follow us through our lives. The stakes get higher and higher. The minister was doing a word study in the Bible with some of the most important words in Scripture. He was looking for the saddest word. He was looking for the happiest word, the one that showed the most emotion. And when he got to the most dangerous word, he found the word tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Put it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow robs us of so much. For when we get to tomorrow, we have everything to do that we put off for today, from today. And God is a God of today and not tomorrow. Through Scripture many times, God says, today is the day of salvation. Today, if thou wilt open up thine heart, today. It's so easy to justify our procrastination. One day I'll get serious with God. One day I'll forgive those who hurt me. One day I'll get in shape. I'll get my finances in order. One day I'll reach out to my neighbor. Lord, one day I'll get my finances in order, and then I'll tithe. Lord, I'll serve the church when my work slows down. I have good intentions, Lord, someday, but not now. I'd like to look at 3 points this morning as we look at procrastination. The first one is procrastination robs us of service to God and our fellow men. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. It's a very familiar story. Luke chapter 9, verse 59. To 62. Verse 59, he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me bid them farewell, which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. This is a story we read a lot in our, we know it by heart, the story of a person who God has called to work in the kingdom. And he says, not now, Lord, not now. I want to go back and bury my father. And looking at face value, you may say, well, God, you're pretty hard. His father died, and he wants to go bury him. But I think I'd rather think that's not the case. I think it's Jesus called the man to follow him, and the man said, wait a minute, I'm not ready. And he said, by the way, he said, hypothetically, he may have been the oldest in the family, he said, you know what, I got to take care of my dad. He's pretty old. I'm going back and take care of my dad. And then when he's gone, then I'll follow you. He had an excuse. He wanted to do something other than what God had called him to do. Jesus said, wait a minute. He said, I think we need to reprioritize things in your life. God called him to follow him. Procrastination robs us of serving God. You can probably think of many times when you felt like this man in the story, when you felt God nudging your heart to do something for him, and you felt it powerfully and you felt it real, and God said, I want you to do whatever, and you fill in the blank. And you said, God, I got to take care of my dad. I got to take care of my family. Jesus said, we need to reprioritize. It's very easy when we feel the call of ministry to put it off and do something else. What are we saying when we do that? Are we saying, God, I don't trust you? God, I don't have faith in you? God, I don't know what you see in me, but I can't do this. And then God answers back and says, why did I call you? If I didn't believe you could do it, why did I call you? I believe a huge piece of our procrastination is our lack of faith in God that is able to do what he's called us to do. I think of Samuel and Eli. When God called him for two times, Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, God's calling me. And Eli said, well, I didn't call you. You know, and Samuel could have said, no, wait a minute, God, what's going on here? You called me, I go to Eli, and I get a closed door. What's going on? But God called again, and again he obeyed. He obeyed what God had asked him to do. He thought Eli was calling him, so he went to check it out. He had faith in God. Third, God answered him and said, this is what I will have for you. Isn't it amazing in our lives, sometimes we feel the call of God in our lives. And we say, well, God, I can't do this. What if I pursue this and the door's closed and it doesn't work out? I believe what God's calling us to is a walk of faith. A walk of faith with him, of answering the call and pushing forward and see what God has for us. I think of a sister I talked to recently who was talking about what she felt God had asked her to do in responding to a call for mission. And she put it off and put it off. As we were talking, she said, there's only one regret I have. I said, I wish I would have done it sooner. I wish I would have answered the call sooner. You know, when we procrastinate God's call in our life, we lose the opportunity to serve people that God wants us to serve, God wants us to minister to. God calls you to minister to people, and we pass them by. Maybe there's someone who God asks you to minister to or talk to or encourage or stop and say a word of the Lord to. And you say, Lord, I'm too busy. I got to take care of my dad. And you pass on by. And before you know it, they may be gone. They may have died or been killed. And you ponder, why did I put it off? Why did I put it off? Have you ever felt the nudge to stop by your son or daughter's bedroom and just drop in for a talk? You say, I'm pretty tired, I'm pretty busy, I'm going to pass on. Do you ever drive by neighbor Joe's house and feel God saying, well, I want you to stop in and encourage Joe today? And you pass on. You drive by. It's like putting money on a credit card. I'll pay it tomorrow. I'll pay it tomorrow. And when we put off the call of God on our lives, it's like putting on a credit card and saying, God, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't know if this story went around on email. I'm not sure how many of you get stories like that, but the story of a boy who was walking home from school and he saw a group of guys take a young young boy carrying a stack of books, huge stack of books, and just knocked him over. His glass went flying, the books went flying. And this boy who observed this walked by, and then all of a sudden decided to go back and be a friend to this boy. He stopped, helped him gather his books together, and he said, he just in conversation said, "I've never seen you before." He said, "Well, this is the first day of school." He said, "I went to private school all my life, and this was the first day of school." Helped him carry his books home. Two became friends, lifelong friends in high school. He became the boy that he had helped pick up books, became the valedictorian of his class. And as he gave his speech on graduation day, he started out by saying, "There's a few people I want to thank." And then he went into telling the story of how on the day those guys knocked him over with his load of books, he was going to kill himself. And he was taking all the books out of his locker so his mom wouldn't have to deal with it. But that boy, who stopped and helped him, made a difference in his life. How many of those boys have we passed by? God has called us to minister to, or people. What is God asking you to do? Maybe you remember of an incident now that comes to your mind. I think of taking a stand for God. My mind goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They could have very easily said to each other, "Shadrach, let's do another time. Let's stand up another time, not today." What do you think would have happened? I remember times in my life, especially in school, times when I felt I should take a stand, and I said, "Nah, Lord, I'll do another time. It's too hard right now. Next time I'll do it." A little later on, we're going to look at the example of Paul, how he was before Felix, and he nailed it. He stood for God. But opportunities to connect with people. We miss so many chances. And when they're gone, we wonder why. Why didn't we take the time? Why didn't we take the time? Procrastination will beat you every time. It'll win against homework. It'll win against reaching out to the people. It'll win against reconciling relationships. And it'll win against coming to God for salvation, getting right with God. The second point is procrastination assumes something that none of us have. And that's tomorrow. None of us have tomorrow. Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, "Do not boast of tomorrow, for you know not what the day may bring forth." A lot of us think tomorrow is just another day. Just like yesterday was a day, today is a day, tomorrow is another day. We don't even think that today is a gift from God, and we're not promised tomorrow. And all we have is today. All we have is today. It's kind of like if a banker called you up and said an anonymous donor gave you 86,400 pennies. That's $864 in a day. He said, "I'm going to give it to you every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But the only requirement is you have to spend all that money each day. Because at that midnight, it's all canceled. The money goes away, and you start fresh the next day." Every evening, the money's canceled, the money's gone, you start over fresh the next day. Did you know that we have a gracious, loving God who every day gives us 86,400 seconds? That's 1,440 minutes, 24 hours in each day. God deposits that in the bank of time for each of us. And we have that time to use. And how are we using that time? Time is opportunity. Paul says, "Redeeming the time, for the days are evil." The importance of time, the importance of each day. Psalm 39:4, show me, O Lord, my life, life's end, and the number of my days. Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days, that we may present you a heart of wisdom. I think we take for granted that our stay on earth will be 70 years, 80 years, and we live one day, continuing to the next day, continuing to the next day. When in reality, each day is a gift from God. Each day is a gift from God, and we are responsible to use that day to honor and glorify Him. A lot of letters that were written during the war, some of the wars of letters that were sent home to the wives, and they used the language, if providence allows, if God's allowed. They were aware of each day as a gift, and if providence allows, they would come back. They would come home to see them. Do we value the time that God has given us? Each day is a gift from God. Each day. We have no promise. God doesn't guarantee us another day. We have no guarantee for tomorrow. The gift is today. And so why is procrastinating and putting off for tomorrow wrong? It's because we have no promise of tomorrow. We're presuming on the grace of God, that God's going to give us that day. And what He's asked us to do today, we put it off for tomorrow. We never know if we have tomorrow. We're presuming on the grace of God. The Bible teaches that we need to plan for tomorrow. If tomorrow happens, that's being responsible. But God has asked us to use each moment today for to its fullest, to His honor and glory. Procrastination is an ugly sin, if I can put it in those words, that robs us of so much in our lives. And thinking of time, putting off for tomorrow things I want to do, not what God has called me to do. I can play with the kids another day. I can take my wife out on a date next month. I can finish that project down the road. I can mend relationships another day. The answer is not to simply stop procrastinating. But the answer is to start valuing each day as a gift from God. The Bible teaches if we're going to put off something, we need to put on something. So if we're going to stop procrastinating, we need to put on the awareness that every day is a gift. Every day is a gift from God. We don't have tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We need to live with the awareness of today could be our last day. James 4:13-14 says, come now. You say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go and do such and such in this city and spend the year there to buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? For what your life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's why we are taught in Matthew, chapter 5, to settle quickly with your adversaries. Settle it today. Settle things you may have wrong today. Ephesians 4 says, let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. We have not tomorrow, we have today. I think if we're going to get a grip on our sin of procrastinating and putting off what God's asked us to do, we need to get a grip on that today is a gift from God. The third thing procrastination does, it'll keep us out of heaven. Open your Bibles to Acts 24. It's when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, and there was a plot against his life. And he was transferred to Caesarea to appear before Felix. Acts chapter 24, let's break in verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysa, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberties that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister to come to him. So here we have Felix hearing the case against Paul. And, you know, in his heart, I don't think he really believed the case. So he deferred it to Lysa when he came. And he said, put him in prison, but we're going to put him in a 5-star prison. Let his friends come, let his acquaintances come. Verse 24, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning his faith in Christ. I think he had a little, he liked Paul. He liked what he had to say. He wanted to hear more of what he had to say. So he called for him to hear about his faith in Christ. That's the reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix had an opportunity to hear the gospel. And this is where I referred to earlier of Paul had an opportunity to stand for Christ and to share Christ with a big government official. To give you a little background of this family of Felix and Drusilla, sounds like a fairy tale name, Felix and Drusilla. But it was not your ordinary family. She was one of Herod Agrippa's daughters. Felix has stolen Drusilla from her husband and married her for his third wife. Her brother murdered James, the brother of John, and tried to murder Peter. Her great uncle, Herod Antipas, beheaded John the Baptist. Her great grandfather, Herod the Great, ordered a mass murder of babies in Bethlehem to try to weed out the Messiah. So, can you imagine Paul going before the people of this character, not knowing what's going to happen, if he was going to be chopped in two or what? And he could have went before them and said, Felix is asking about his faith in God. He could have sugarcoated and said, you know, just come have communion with us. There's a few things you might want to work on in your lives, but, just come. We'll have a good time together. Paul didn't do that at all. He delivered the 1-2-3 punch. He told him of righteousness, of self-control, and judgment to come. And I wonder who was the prosecutor and who was the defendant in this case. But it was pretty obvious that Paul had the floor. And that Felix was under tremendous conviction. A tremendous conviction that he trembled. And some versions talk about how he just shook violently with conviction of what Paul had to say. But he ordered Paul to go away. He said, go away and I'll call you for a more convenient time. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him when he is near. I'm sure most of you or all of you have felt the voice of the call of God on your life. The call of God for salvation initially. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're still fighting that call. And here I believe God was working on Felix and his wife Drusilla. And they were fighting. They were fighting the call of God in their life. And they told him at another convenient time, I'll do it. I remember God speaking to me not only about salvation, but about making things right with my brother. I'd said something that I felt was wrong, and I put it off. I don't know how long I put it off. I put it off for a long time, and every time I went, I got in a place where I could have done it, I put it off. I told God another time, I'll do it another time. And there again, when we do that, we're presuming on we have tomorrow. But we don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. But I fought that and I fought that until one day I knew that it was so strong. It's like, I'm going. I don't care what happens. I'm going. And I went. And I don't know why we fight so long, why we fight so hard. The peace that brings is tremendous, incredibly tremendous, after you make things right with a brother. In the same way with God's call in our life for salvation, the same thing, I fought and I fought and I fought. And after I did it, I remember telling my mom, why did I wait so long? Why did I fight so hard? We have no promise of the call coming again the same way. The next time it may not be as strong. The next time you may be busy and you don't even acknowledge the call of God on your life. You may pass it off. and that call may never come again. You know, I believe in my heart that we need to value the voice of God. The voice of God in our lives. We don't have the promises of another call. We can't bank on it. We need to treasure the voice of God. This sounds like it's a preacher talking to a congregation, but I've experienced it in my own life. That when you're dealing with the call of God in your life, you may never get another call. God's Spirit will always strive with men. That's why Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found, while he is near to your heart, while he's calling your heart. Whatever area it is, value the voice of God, treasure that voice. Hebrews 3:13 and verse 15, it says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. While it is said today, if thou wilt hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. I have three stories I want to share. One's a fictitious story, and two of them are real stories. It's a story about three demons who were graduating from a training of Hell University. They were taking their final exam, and Satan asked each one of them, what are you going to do to deceive people? The first demon said, I'm going to tell them there is no God. Satan said, you're not going to convince people of that. The second demon said, I'm going to tell people there is no heaven. There is no hell. This is all there is. Satan said, you won't have much luck with anyone having a sense to believe that. The third demon says, Satan, I'm going to tell people there's no hurry. Yes, there is a God, but you can make your decision in your own time. You have plenty of time. Satan said, congratulations, you have the winning strategy that is going to deceive millions of people. It's a trick of the enemy for us to put it off. I'll give my life to the Lord next week. I'll take my step of faith in service to God next week. I'll reconcile with that person next week. Two true stories. One story, Billy Graham was in a Seattle hospital fast asleep when he was awakened by a powerful burden to pray for Marilyn Monroe. Some of you Youngermen may not recognize that name, but she was a very sensual woman. The next morning, the burden was even stronger. And had one of his aides set up an appointment to meet with her. Her agent made it very difficult. She was too busy and would meet with Reverend Graham some other time. Maybe in about 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, she committed suicide. D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago on October 8th, 1871. He preached a message entitled, What Will You Do With Jesus? He concluded the sermon by saying, I wish you would seriously consider for a week this question of what you will do with Jesus. And next Sunday, we'll speak on the cross. And then I'll ask you, what will you do with Jesus? They concluded the service with a hymn, but before the hymn ever got finished, the roar of the fire engines filled the auditorium. The famous fire of 1871 broke out and nearly wiped the city off the map. The sermon of the cross was never preached, and Moody said, never again will I give an audience a week to consider what they will do with Jesus. As we wrap up today, I want you to think about, what are you waiting on? The question, what are you waiting on? Maybe you feel the tug of God on your heart. Maybe you've been procrastinating for a long time, the voice of God. The call of ministry, the call to missions, the call to be involved. And you say, God, I want to take care of my dad. I'll do it some other time. I want to take care of my family. I'll do it some other time. How long will he have to tug until those embers of your heart are reduced to a pile of ashes? Or maybe it's time to get our houses in order. Time to mend fences with our husband, our wife, our children, our mom, our dad. Maybe it's time to guide your family back to the arms of Jesus and rebuild your home to what he wants it to be. Or maybe it's time to start pleasing God with the work of your hand, or to honor him in your workplace, or to eliminate something that is bringing Jesus grief. Or maybe it's time to surrender to God in coming to Christ for the first time. Maybe you feel God tugging at your heart today. Or maybe it's time to surrender your will to God. Maybe you're fighting in some area of your life. I know it may sound repetitious, but we don't have tomorrow. We only have today. And so my question is, what are you waiting for? And maybe what we really want, or really need to ask God for, is faith. Or give me faith to do what you want us to do. I don't know what God is speaking to you about. Well, I'll give you opportunity to come. Feel God calling on your heart for anything, for missions, for ministry, to make things right, and you've been putting it off and putting it off. I will give you opportunity today. If God's not speaking, don't come. If you feel God speaking, don't put it off. Move up the altar. This card of plays. It's an awesome opportunity to meet with God and have fellow believers pray with you. So I also want to open up. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for your voice that is powerful. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to pursue us as children. Lord, I pray for each one that has come up and responded to the call in their lives. Lord, we're thankful for your voice to hear from you. Lord, just pray a prayer of faith, a prayer of courage in their lives to face whatever they're facing. Whether it be for strength, for vision, for faith, for whatever, Lord, just meet their needs, meet them where they're at. That you be able to do through them what you have, the plan you have for them. Lord, I pray that Satan would be defeated in their lives, putting off till tomorrow. I just pray that in the name of Jesus, the power of your blood, that Satan would be defeated from destroying, from discouraging, from disrupting their lives. In Jesus' name we pray.